Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the moment you may or may not have been waiting for, we have another edition of the Basketball Fiends, a proud member of the Art Esquina Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Alex Aguilera, and with me is Houston's own Jesus Acevedo Jr. Jesus, how's it going?
It is going very well. I don't know if I shared this last time, but I'm vaccinated. I got both of my vaccines, so definitely feeling well about that.
Right.
Yeah, so I feel 94% confident that I can go out and, you know, I'll still wear my mask, obviously, but yeah, but definitely feeling good. And as I was, you know, talking to you off the mic, we're having some good weather days here in Houston, as we had some 80 degree weather a couple of days ago, sunny. So I know it's probably the last thing you want to hear. I know I actually know there's been a lot of things you're not wanting to hear lately about Chicago and Illinois in general, Alex, I'm sure.
Man, it's been rough for your boy, okay? So it's been some trying times with my teams lately. I mean, the weather here is okay. I mean, I can't complain too much. Like, it's 50, so it's nice out, but there's rain, so it's like, yeah. and my alma mater, I mean, we'll get into it later, but
yes, we definitely will get into this March Madness. That it's definitely, nobody can ever predict March Madness, but we'll definitely get into that, Alex.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, we'll get into it. It's like, I don't want to talk about it, but I know I'm gonna have to. So you know, it is what it is, and the weird thing is, like, I'm all hyping up about, you know, my school, and I feel like on this show we've, once we get into a team or a player, and you know, we talk positive about them, you know, something happens.
I don't want to say it's a curse, because I mean, can we already have a curse? We're only 10 episodes. I mean, this is our 11th episode. Do we even have that power yet? I know. I thought that was more when you reach a dozen episodes, they start reaching out to you about, you know, post a curse on somebody. But yeah, this is weird, you know, because we definitely, you talked up Illinois. I also talked them up, among other teams in the March Madness. Upsets happened that we'll definitely get into, but specifically, you know, one of our earlier episodes, we talked about the Rockets' rise after the James Harden trade, you know, and we talked about what team are they going to be, and they went on a winning streak, a good solid winning streak. I want to say, I can't recall now, but it was maybe 8, 9, 10 game winning streak. And then after we talked about that, something happened, Alex.
Yeah, something happened and it wasn't good. Houston went on a 20-game losing streak after we were so hyped about them after the you know, the Harden trade and how they picked up John Wall. They had signed DeMarcus Cousins, and you know, they had Christian Wood, and we were like, hey, you know what? The Rockets look like they
like
could
maybe, right?
Right, just maybe they may actually might look good after, you know, giving up, you know, a generational talent, but now, you know, Christian Wood got hurt.
And that definitely needs to be said. I mean, Christian Wood, who was the best player not named James Harden on this Houston Rockets team, he missed 17 of the 20 games during that streak. So that's your star missing games. And not just that, there were other players that missed games. Oladipo missed 7 games, who was the player that they got back in the James Harden trade. Wall missed a couple here and there. But it was also a team. You know, I also feel for Steven Silas, who this is his first year coaching, and it's been such a tumultuous season. It's not fair to him to judge him on this season.
You can. I mean, the whole James Harden saga and how that went down. I mean, he walked into that. I mean, there's no really predicting, you know, how to handle, you know, that whole situation, and then you got all these injuries. Christian Wood goes down, and it wasn't like he walked into a very, I guess, good situation per se. You know, he kind of walked into sort of, you know, a mess that's really now in shambles, and he has to sort of navigate and find a way to, you know, fix it.
Yeah, you know, and players and coaches, obviously the coach, he cares about these losses. You know, I don't think there was any tanking on purpose going on, as some conspiracy NBA fans out there want to say. You know, after the 20th loss, Steven Silas, before he began his media conference after the game, before he answered the first question, he just took a moment to himself and just, you know, rubbed his forehead and just kind of collected himself. I mean, you could tell that these 20 losses were weighing on him. Yeah. You know, and I think the clip went viral, and the next day he said so many coaches reached out to him and offer their, you know, similar stories of them going through suffrage in the NBA and, you know, losing games.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like that's where like the whole, oh, they're taking on purpose. It's like, do you really think, you know, a first year coach, those guys in that locker room, like, wanna lose on purpose? They're probably pissed out of their minds to lose 20 games in a row. Like, no one wants to lose no one.
Houston 20 game losing streak was tied for ninth worst in NBA history and longest since the 76ers record setting 28 game losing streak. I think that was a couple years ago, three, 4 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So nobody wants to lose. Nobody wants to lose that many games in a row. Can you imagine?
No. I don't want to be in that scenario. I mean, I played sports. I've been on some kind of rough teams, but never had we ever, you know, went on a losing streak like that. You know, no one wants to be in that position. So I think when you look at the Rockets, it's, you kind of got to look in the mirror and say, okay, you know, we need to sort of rebuild. You know, I know they had deal PJ Tucker. You know, they got DJ Augustine, DJ Wilson, and I know some draft picks as well.
KJ Martin also, if you haven't seen this guy, have you seen? He only blocks 7-footers or taller. Like, he only cares about blocking you if you're 7 feet or taller. That's all, you know, as you've seen. So, no, but now I'll say this just to appease some of the NBA conspiracists. Now, do the Rockets mind the losses at the front level office? Maybe not, because, you know, you get you a higher lottery pick, you know, but you're not going to say that.
So, yeah, there's the business side of it.
Now, as we continue on this theme of the basketball fiend's curse, which, you know, we may not have it. It could be just us making this up. We've had some major player injuries recently, Alex. LeBron James, who was, you know, many still had him as their MVP pick. Got hurt, high ankle. I don't know. I think it was high ankle. So he's missed the past two games. And my guy, who I have been raving about as Rookie of the Year, LaMelo Ball, hurt his right wrist when he broke a bone in his right wrist. Alex, we've been talking of LaMelo Ball, both of us too. You know, I know you were definitely on the LaMelo Ball train, and now this happens.
Yeah, no, I swear, the moment that I finally was like, all right, you know what, I might hop on this LaMelo Ball train, and already, you know, not that it's falling off the rails, but, you know, we got some engine problems. I mean, dude fractured his right wrist. I feel like in some cases, fracturing is actually worse than breaking. So, he fractured his right wrist. He had surgery, and they're pretty much saying, like, he's out for the season. Yep. I mean, there's some, you know, hope that he, you know, he already, you know, got the surgery, that if he gets a second opinion, he may be able to,
would you risk,
you know,
it?
Come back, come playoff time.
I would not risk
it.
I don't know. If I'm in the front office, no, there's no way.
No. MJ Smart is smart enough to know that. I mean, this is your franchise right here. I mean, he's averaging what, 16.6 assists, 6 rebounds. So
now here's an interesting situation. There was and they talked about it in The Last Dance. Jordan was, I think, in his, when he was on the minutes restriction, and he really wanted to play because it was the first time the Bulls could reach the playoffs. So now maybe you have LaMelo Ball in that situation where he's like, I can get the Charlotte Hornets in the playoffs. Which, that's a whole another question that I was going to ask, is I personally think there's enough talent in the Charlotte Hornets roster. They can make the playoffs. They're going to lose seeding position, clearly, but I think they should still make the playoffs. So what say you, Alex?
Yeah, no, I think they're a playoff team. I mean, they might dip a little bit in the standings, but I think it's a well enough team where you got, you know, Terry Rozier, who's more than capable of picking up the slack.
Gordon Hayward.
Malik Monk, Gordon Hayward, Miles Bridges. So you got some guys there where, you know, they're well enough that they can step up and they can still maintain a playoff position. But in the case between like a Jordan move where LaMelo wants to come back in, I mean, it was different times. That's sort of like a story where it lives in basketball lore, where it's like this dude really wanted to play even though he was an 8 seed going up against the Boston Celtics in their prime in the 80s. So I don't know, as cool as it kind of would be, we're in different times where it's like, nah, you got to think about
the future,
you know, your the future. So in this case, I would sit him.
Now, as far as future goes, I think if LaMelo is out for the season, that kind of rules him out for Rookie of the Year. I got this stat from NBA.com. To date, LaMelo has played in 56.9% of Charlotte's games. So if that's it, that'll be 41 of 72 games. The lowest percentage ever by Rookie of the Year winner was 61% by New York Knicks center Patrick Ewing in 1986 when he played in 50 of 82 games. I don't think the NBA voters are going to be that friendly to LaMelo Ball this year. I think if he's out, I think he's out of the running.
Yeah, unfortunately. And that sucks because, I mean, injuries are a part of the game, and it sucks that it had to be a fractured right wrist. So, I mean, it's definitely something that's going to, you know, put him out for some time. So, I mean, you know, you wish he played a little bit more. You know, if the injury had happened, you know, a little later on in the season, then maybe he might be able to, you know, squeak by in the case that he played just enough that he could be in that consideration. But, yeah, unfortunately, it is the case where, yeah, I don't see him really being in the running at this point. He just hasn't played enough. Simple as that.
Now, another team that's going to lose seeding is the LA Lakers. As I mentioned, LeBron James is out with the ankle injury. He's been out the last two games. And Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis, AD, has missed 24 games this season, Alex. So the Lakers, I mean, they're going to lose seeding. They still have a good enough record to you know, stay in the pack, but they're going to lose seeding. But it's still a costly injury for the Lakers to have both of their stars out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Anthony Davis alone was, you know, was a hit. And then now you're the best player still. You know, he's 36. Yeah. But, still, you know, the best player in the league is out indefinitely. You know, it definitely raises your eyebrows a little bit because obviously LeBron, you know, isn't a guy that we're used to seeing, you know, injured long term. I know, like, the groin injury he had his first year with the Lakers that, you know, sidelined him for a little bit, but this one, you know, to not see a timetable, you're not panicked, but you're kind of like how long is he going to be out for?
Yeah.
I think in the case of the Lakers, you know, they'll dip in the standings. You know, I think unfortunately that these injuries are going to expose their depth where, you know, can a Kuzma, can a Dennis Schroeder, you know, step up and pick up the slack of two of the best players in the league? You know, no, but I think the team is well enough that, you know, they can make they can make the playoffs, and at that point you just kind of hope where, you know, seeding doesn't matter. As long as LeBron and AD are healthy by that time, you know, you're good to go.
And I think you hit upon it. To me, that's the question also is, can the Lakers weather the storm, and how much can they weather it? Because who's telling that they, depending how many games LeBron James misses, there's no telling how far down the standings the Lakers drop. I mean, could you envision them dropping all the way into the play-in tournament, play-in game? So I think about the talent they have and the lack thereof, and I see who's going to have to step up, and I think you hit upon it. And I think also another name is Montrezl Harrell. You know, he was one of their big offseason acquisitions. He's going to have to step up. Marc Gasol. You know, he's no stranger to carrying a team. I know he's an older player, but you can still run your offense through him. So to me, it'll be about how much can the Lakers weather the storm and how far down they fall. I think, you know, LeBron will come back. I think the question remains on Anthony Davis. Will he come back?
You know, yeah, I mean it was a month, and it's been a minute.
It's been a minute. So I think now that's a question that you can legitimately ask. Will Anthony Davis come back this season? You know?
It remains to be seen, man. But I think, oh, man, that's the buzzer.
That's the buzzer. Oh, at the buzzer. You missed it. You cannot talk anymore about that topic, Alex. You passed the buzzer.
The ball's in the air, man. It's just in slow motion.
Go ahead. Finish your thought. We'll let you finish it. We are the basketball fans. We'll let you finish it.
All right, so just the final thought is, you know, I think the Lakers are going to be fine, but, you know, for as long as Anthony Davis has been out, it does raise eyebrows for sure as to, you know, when his return will be, because it definitely didn't seem like it was going to be this long.
Yeah, no, Definitely. I mean, and you know, I go back and say, I mean, you can legit ask, like, will he play this season again? And then from that, we move on to our next topic, which also deals with the former Laker great in a topic we, you know, prominent figures past and present. And Elgin Baylor, a great Laker, All-NBA player, passed away recently of natural causes, Alex. He's, you know, many of the younger generation may not really know about Elgin Baylor, so I definitely urge them to go back and look at highlights. I mean, it needs to be said, and I'm sure it's been said since his passing. I mean, he was one of the NBA's original superstars of that era, and his game is what the modern wing player in the NBA is now.
Yeah, no, Elgin Baylor was definitely ahead of his time. I know I am a young buck, whatever you want to call it, but I did grow up knowing Elgin Baylor a little bit. I mean, 11-time All-Star, you know, 10-time All-NBA. He had won an MVP, I believe, in 1959.
Yep. Rookie of the Year.
I know Rookie of the Year. So, I mean, the dude could ball, and I love that you mentioned it. You know, he's what we see today as the modern, you know, NBA wingman. And for sure, he was definitely just ahead of his time. I mean, just the scoring, you know, outputs that, you know, he would have. There was one season where he put up like 34 points a game. Like, that's, you know, that's the norm now.
Right, right.
You know, for a Bradley Beal per se. But back then, it was like, holy crap. I mean, I know Wilt Chamberlain was doing his thing. But, you know, outside of that, we hadn't really seen a wing player, you know, do that. So, I mean, shouts out to, you know, to Elgin Baylor as a player, man. Dude was incredible. You know, condolences to his family.
Yes, man. Condolences to the Elgin Baylor family. And yeah, he's a player that his name will forever be synonymous with the NBA. He averaged 27 and 14. You know, it was 13.5, but I'm rounding up. So it's 27 and 14. We round up with the basketball fiends. So 27 and 14 lifetime averages, you know. And one thing that just irks me, that just kills me, that just, I wish, Alex, and I see your face. You already, like, hit your forehead because, you know, Elgin Baylor never won a title. 8 straight NBA finals, and he never won a damn title. He does hold the single game final scoring record with 61 points against the Celtics in 62, but they just could not beat that great Celtics team when they were on the run. And it just goes to a whole different conversation about rings culture. We'll definitely have some other time. But yeah, it just irks me, you know, just one. If he just had just one.
God, one of the biggest crimes in NBA history is that Elgin Baylor never won a ring. I know we can talk about Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, John Stockton, how those guys didn't win a ring, but Elgin Baylor is probably the most deserving NBA player in history to win a ring, and he never got it. And it's so messed up. It's so messed up.
And it's like, it's this situation. Like, I always wonder about rings culture. Like, would players be okay being, hey, you're an honorary champion? Would a player accept that? Me personally, I'd be like, I can't, you know, like, I want to win it.
Right, yeah, I don't know if I would accept that. It's like, nah, man, I got to win it.
You got to win it, so.
Like, you just got to win it.
And look, you know, like I said, Elgin Baylor did his thing in the finals. I mean, 61 games in the finals against the Celtics.
It wasn't like he tried.
He tried the hardest. He tried his hardest, you know. So, but no, Elgin Baylor will forever be, like I said, be synonymous with the NBA. One prominent figure that is in the NBA right now is Chris Paul. Alex, I know you've been singing his praises this season. He just passed a couple games ago 10,000 assists and ranked 6th all time on the list. He is, when it's all said and done, Chris Paul could easily crack the top 3 assist leader. Because, I mean, the way he's been playing, he has years left in him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, dude, I think definitely could hit that, you know, 20-year mark, that 20-year, you know, milestone per se in the league. I mean, he's definitely on track to pass up Magic Johnson, Mark Jackson, Steve Nash. I mean, those are some of the most renowned, you know, point guards, you know, in the league. I mean, I know Mark Jackson may not jump out to some people, maybe the casual fan, but Mark Jackson could ball out, dude.
He could ball.
Pass the rock.
He could pass it. If there's one thing he could do, is pass it and spot up. Pass it and spot up.
Man. I saw a little bit of him in with the Pacers. Not that I was around, but I saw clips, I saw highlights, I saw that some was games. And man,
I love that Pacers scenes with Rick Smith, Reggie Miller. Oh my god, I love that team.
That was the squad. So anyway, back to Chris Paul, the man that we should be talking about.
Chris Paul.
Because shout out to Mike Jackson, man. Yeah, you're shout cool, out. But Chris Paul. I mean, just you know what you want out of a point guard, especially in this
point guard, right? That's his
right point guard.
That's his nickname, point guard. Like, what other better nickname can you get than point guard? Point guard.
Yeah, man, and just how he's been able to transition and adapt to each role he's been in throughout his career. I mean, he's always just been a reliable, solid guy. You know, no matter what team he's on, we knew he was the guy in New Orleans. You know, we saw him sort of, you know, take a little bit of a step back when he was with Houston. He kind of was the guy with the Clippers, and you know, just whatever team he's on, you know, he knew exactly what role he needed to play, and he played it at the highest level.
No, I wouldn't wonder. I love to do an NBA what if podcast. Maybe we'll do it in the off season. What if David Stern hadn't canceled that trade where Chris Paul goes to LA? Man.
You talk about a what if, man.
That's one that has to be one of the top five what ifs in the NBA. Can you imagine Chris Paul and Kobe Bryant?
Oh man, that would be
those two basketball IQs. Oof, man.
We gotta say, that's an
off-season topic. Yeah,
yeah, because I'm already like the gears are turning, and I'm like, okay, I know we need to move on. Because, oh man, we could talk about that all day.
We could definitely talk about that there. But yes, and now we are going to our last topic. We're gonna move on. We're going to our last topic, which is March Madness. We've been waiting for this, and we saved this to the end because I wanted Alex to kind of get some time to kind of get into talking and rolling, because I know it wasn't a great early March Madness experience for Alex and his Illinois Fighting. I guess not so much fighting anymore, just Illinois University. Oh my god, I'm so
coming at
look,
me. Okay.
I really wanted to see a U of H Illinois matchup, and they ruined that for us. But just Alex, I mean, what happened from a basketball perspective? What happened? Like, what did Loyola do to this Illinois? Well, shout out to them because they put on a clinic. But yeah, what did you see?
I saw Loyola, you know, force Illinois to play a game that they normally don't play and that they don't like to play, which was a half-court game. Illinois is a very much an up-tempo team where they like to run, you know, they like to, you know, grab the defensive rebound, and they love to go in transition. You know, they love to create, you know, scoring opportunities, you know, in that case. And Loyola didn't allow them to do any of that. You know, I rarely saw, you know, Illinois really go out and run. You know, they're forced to, you know, play this half-court offense where at times, you know, they can, but, you know, that's not what they're really suited for. You know, I saw them shut down Ayo Dosunmu, who is an All-American who could be, you know, player of the year, to like 9 points and five turnovers. You know, he couldn't get going. I would say, you know, Kofi Coburn was really, you know, the only consistent guy that you saw some scoring out of, and maybe Andre Curbelo, who was really like the only spark you saw, you know, in that offense to try to get that team going. So, I mean, all props to Loyola. I mean, they like you said, they put on a defensive clinic that, you know, I haven't seen, you know, in some time, where they just shut down a star-studded team.
Illinois had no answer for Cameron Krutwig.
No.
Cameron,
that dude.
Krutwig, yeah. That guy there, he is like Jokic Jr. in the way he plays. He's a point center, and he has, you know what he reminded when I watched him play, and he has that old man YMCA game. And if you play street ball, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When this guy comes, he's one of those guys that he does all the basics and simplicities of the game just perfect in how he does it. And he's not the fastest. He's not the strongest. Sometimes he's not even tall. Sometimes he's just getting over. But he just gets these basics, fundamentals. And people like that irk me whenever they're not on my team, because I'm like, oh my God, like this guy here. You know, it's just so simple. It looks effortless, but it's on. And that's what Cameron Krutwig reminds me of. Man, he put on a clinic.
Yeah, man, a fundamental clinic at that, man. You know, just simple, you know, post moves. He was aggressive enough to, you know, give Kofi some troubles defensively. Like, Kofi didn't know whether, you know, to stand or be aggressive.
Because he had him confused. He was like, do I back up? Do I press? Like,
because Kofi knows he, you know, refs are going to call fouls on him just because he's just this monster of a human being. I can attest to that because I saw the man, you know, front and center while I was at Illinois, and he is a large human being. I don't know what they fed him out in Jamaica, but my goodness, he's a big boy. I don't understand why he's younger than me. But regardless, I mean, Krutwick just had such a high basketball IQ that he knew exactly how to go at Kofi, you know, in the post. And just, you know, it wasn't anything that blew you away, but it was just so simple and so fundamental that he just got the job done, man. Yeah. Shouts out to him.
Shouts out to him and shouts out to Loyola Chicago. But, you know, it has to be said, Illinois wasn't the only team that underperformed. There have been so many upsets in this tournament that after 2 days, there were no more perfect brackets. You know, and just as we said, hey, this is the year that all number one seeds could make it. There's only two number one seeds remaining. So Illinois wasn't the only one that went out. And there was a lot of number two seeds that went out. Oklahoma State with Cade Cunningham, you know, who's many predicted to be the number one pick. They flamed out, too, as well. So it's a tournament where upsets are happening. That's why we love it, you know. My alma mater, the U of H Cougars, whose house? U of H. They scraped by. They should not have won that game. But shout out to the John Giroux. Oh, I hope I'm saying his name right. Playing with a hip pointer, which if you don't know what a hip pointer is, that's a deep bruise on the bone along the pelvis. Like just saying that hurts right now.
That's what a hip pointer is?
Yes, right. Like now that I know, I'm like, oh my God, and he played through that? Oh my God. So, okay. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, it was tough. But yeah, the U of H survived. And now they're playing Syracuse, which that should be a good matchup. But I think overall, you know, this tournament has reminded everybody what we missed last year when we didn't have one, unfortunately. I mean, it's just March Madness. It's just the fun of it all, the upsets that can happen, just the emotion also that is shown. You know, some of the teams, you know, I know I talked about how U of H won. They beat Rutgers, but this Rutgers team's fought, and they fought hard, and they should have won. You know, they won. I think I mentioned to you this off the mic. They went into a preventive defense, you know, like in the last 3 minutes when it was like, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what got you here.
They kind of took the foot off the gas a little bit, and they sort of, you know, played to not lose instead of played to win.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
So, I mean, but either way, I mean, Rutgers is now in the Big Ten. I mean, Illinois is a Big Ten team, so now they're a team that the Atlanta had to sort of watch out for it now, because for the most part, Rutgers is just sort of like, okay, that's a school that we don't have to worry about. That's not a program that's, you know, really going to make some noise. But, I mean, they made some noise in this tournament, man, and they definitely did, you know, giving Houston a little scare. So, yeah, and also Oral Roberts, too.
Oral Roberts, shout out, man. 15 seed, shout out.
Jeez, man. I heard they had a curfew.
They had a curfew? What?
I heard that school got a curfew. On Twitter, I was like, get the hell out of here. And they're going to the Sweet 16.
Hey, you know what? Props to them, you know. And that's why I love this tournament, because you get all these stories that you would never hear about this. You know, I had never known about Oral Roberts University before.
No, this. I had to look them up.
Yeah, I was like, is that a brand of toothpaste? I mean, what is it, you know? So, but shout out to them, and shout out to all the lower seats. We got plenty of lower seats in the Sweet 16. I want to say it's the highest or second highest since 1999, if I'm not mistaken, I saw. So yeah. Shout out to the lower seats.
Yeah, man. That's why it's called March Madness. I mean, when a team gets hot. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're the one seed or the 16th seed. I mean, we saw Virginia a couple years back where they got, you know, bounced in the first round. You know, before that, we hadn't seen a one seed go down in the first round. So, you know, it's so unpredictable, but that's also just, you know, the beauty of it. You know, just seeing a team that before you had no idea existed and you had to look up, where now all of a sudden we're going to remember Oral Roberts the way we remembered Florida Gulf Coast a couple years back. You know, Dunk City, whatever they were, you know, called, you know, going into the Sweet 16. So, yeah, man, it's fun. I mean, it hurts to see Illinois go so early, but I'm hopeful that, you know, it's a program that has finally been resurrected and, you know, can compete moving forward in the tournament.
Definitely. You know what else has been resurrected recently that we both saw? Zack Snyder's Justice League was resurrected from the grave, from I don't know where it was at, but we both saw the four-hour marathon of a movie, and we both enjoy it very well, Alex. I know that, right?
Oh, my God, dude. I don't know how long it had been sitting in some Warner Brothers warehouse or wherever they keep movies. I mean, I don't know, but man, it's definitely what I think what everybody, you know, expected and wanted to see from a Zack Snyder Justice League.
Exactly. No, and I think I would have probably cut 30 minutes here and there from the film, cutting down through 3 minutes and 30, and you could have easily released a 3-hour-and-a-half movie in theaters. I would have sat down and watched this movie. You know, it was just a different feel. Just from the very beginning, from like the first couple of minutes, you're like, it's just a different feeling that it invoked in you.
Right, the tone of it was like, whoa, okay, this is different. I think with Josh Whedon's Justice League, it was forcing itself to be something that it wasn't supposed to be. And with Zack Snyder's Justice League, it allowed itself to be what it wanted to be.
That's a good way to put it.
Wow. That sounded smart.
That did. You know what?
Oh, that sounded so cool. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from, but man, I got a little deep there. That's what it did to me.
See, that's what this Justice League did. And I think that's a good way of breaking it down. We got to see the vision, that the original intention for us to see this movie. And so many things just made sense. So many scenes made sense. You know, we're not going to get into it and spoil it for people that may not have seen it. Which, you know, granted, it's 4 hours. It's definitely a sprint. I know I had a couple friends on Twitter that saw it over like 4 days, you know, because that's so much, you know, because they didn't have much time, you know. So I just,
yeah.
You know. But Alex, any plans for this weekend as we wrap and put a bow on this latest Basketball Fiends edition?
Looking forward to, you know, Falcon Winter Soldier, of course. Looking forward to this trade deadline as well. That's coming up very, very soon.
So. Also, we didn't mention, guys, we have an NBA trade deadline special. So after you listen to this episode, go to the next episode. And it's an NBA trade deadline special about all the trades that happened, all the trades that didn't happen. We'll talk about the tumultuous trades that happened early on in the season. We'll talk about what teams should have made trades and how, because they didn't make those trades, that may impact them in the playoffs. So thanks for the reminder, Alex. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah. Also, shout out to my mom, love you, whose birthday was yesterday on the 25th.
Shout out for the Basketball Fiends. What's your mom's name?
Yolanda.
Yolanda. You know what would have been perfect if your mom's name was Martha, like, you know, because it just didn't back.
Nah, man, I think she's cooler than anything. She's not changing it anytime soon.
Okay. Well, Yolanda, happy birthday. And from all of us here at the Basketball Fiends, which all of us is just Alex and I, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.
Deuces.